So looking at this issue, firstly, Bougainville, why does it want independence? Why does it want to become its own nation with that fairly significant result?
That's a really good question. And it goes back to sort of the 1960s and 1970s when Australia was actually in charge of Papua New Guinea. And the sort of plans for opening a gold and copper mine in Bougainville, which was seen as a way of providing the soon-to-be independent Papua New Guinea with income. And the plans that came about as a result of that led to the creation of a nationalist movement within Bougainville, who actually declared sort of unilateral independence before Papua New Guinea became independent in September of 1975. So it goes back to that period, and then the mine sort of came online in the early 1970s and actually was quite a valuable resource for Papua New Guinea after independence in 1975. But problems over the distribution of wealth and so on led Bougainvillians to become quite disillusioned and try and sort of move away from Papua New Guinea. So it stems from really Australian colonialism and the mine on Bougainville.
So that sort of mineral wealth, I mean, as we mentioned there, Papua New Guinea has the final say on Bougainville's independence. Is that what they're looking to lose if they were to give up, let go of Bougainville?
Well, not necessarily. The mine actually has been closed for the past 30 years as a result of the civil war that took place between the late 80s and late 90s. And since that time, the mine has been left really to sort of with rusting trucks and so on. So that, I mean, there are plans to reopen the mine, and that's partly what the autonomous government of Bougainville want to sort of put together in the move for independence. But there's also fears within Papua New Guinea that if Bougainville was able to become independent and separate from Papua New Guinea, there might be other reasons and two that come to mind, New Ireland and East New Britain might also try to either get more autonomy or also perhaps in the long term try and get their independence as well. So part of it is also just Papua New Guinean leaders trying to sort of hold the country together.
Well, what do you anticipate is going to be the Papua New Guinean's government's response to this vote? I mean, are they going to proceed but also try to call for unity in terms of these other regions? Or are they going to simply lock down the conversation and say, sorry, no, you're not going anywhere?
Yeah, that's the big question, isn't it? I think that the current Prime Minister, James Marape, has been quite open in allowing the referendum to take place. He's been quite supportive, much more supportive than the previous Prime Minister, but has also expressed that he would rather Bougainville remain in Papua New Guinea with potentially increased autonomy, but remaining part of Papua New Guinea. But like you said, the referendum isn't binding, so it will start a conversation that could take years over what the outcome might be. But the Papua New Guinean government is, I would suggest, reluctant to have Bougainville immediately become independent. So I think they'll stretch it out as long as they possibly can, just to try and sort of keep things, the status quo, I guess, from going on.
Well, as we say, 97% of the vote, it's a fairly significant turnout for independence. In terms of, okay, let's say the Papua New Guinea did allow Bougainville its independence, how would Bougainville, do we have any real idea of how they would go about establishing themselves as a nation?
Well, the mine is a big part of it. So the Panguna mine is estimates of over $50 billion worth of copper and gold that are still in the ground in Bougainville. So one argument is that if independence was to be obtained, the mine might potentially be reopened. There are also other small forms of industry that they might put together. But also the question then becomes about aid. So Bougainville is very dependent on the Papua New Guinean government for a lot of what it does. So economically, Bougainville is very poor. It's still trying to rebuild from the Civil War. There are questions about Chinese offers of aid. There was a story of an offer of over $1 billion. Obviously, Australia is a big aid donor as well. So the economic question would be the big one for whether or not Bougainville could become a viable sort of country, I guess.
And that very small population, I understand, a little bit over 200,000 people. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's got to be something of a barrier as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And with that population, there's issues associated going back to the 1990s of what's referred to in Bougainville as a lost generation of people who were unable to gain forms of education, et cetera, over that decade, that sort of exacerbate that even more. So you're right, the small population and the low level of infrastructure, et cetera, when put together will make things quite difficult for Bougainville. But like you said, there's 97-98% of the population want to be independent, so it's hard to kind of look past that as well.
Well, it's an interesting one with our northern neighbours. Nick, thank you very much. Really do appreciate your time.
Not a problem. Thank you, Sean.